Ladies and gentlemen, Chikarmi, fans of Chikara, fans of many different things in general, welcome once again to another edition of My Breakfast with Chikara. I am your host, PJ Drummond, and I'm honored to be joined today by a gentleman that many longtime wrestling fans will know the name of. If you've ever read any issue of PWI, Pro Wrestling Illustrated, ever, you will have seen the advertisements for the Champions of the Galaxy. And today my guest is the creator of that game, plus many other games, the Legend of Wrestling game, and many other products, calendars, and things like that, Mr. Tom Filsinger. Tom, how are you doing today?
Fantastic. It's great to be here.
Great. It's great to have you. Thank you very much for joining us. Now, as I mentioned, everyone probably has at the very least seen the advertising in Pro Wrestling Illustrated and knows of Champions of the Galaxy and things like that. Can you give us sort of a quick little history of where the idea came from?
Yeah. I mean, this is a pretty good story. Right off the bat, it involves the WWF, as it was called back then. But I was always a big wrestling fan.
Okay.
And so I just watched it all the time, and I always liked playing games too. So I decided one day when I was in school, and I was oftentimes bored in high school, and I needed to get through the day, and so I created a game,
mm-hmm.
and it played pretty well. You know, it was an attack defend game, which is essentially the game that it is today,
mm-hmm.
and created wrestler cards for people that I enjoyed watching, like the Sheik. The original.
Okay.
Johnny Valentine, see, so I'm going back to that sort of an era.
Sure.
And then I kind of let it go a little bit. And then in the early 80s, I revived it and used Snuka and Morocco and Hogan and, you know, all the really well-known people. And I made cards for them, and then I got my brother Paul, who's 10 years younger than me, mm-hmm. but a wrestling fan. I said, "You feel like playing this game with me?" And he said, "Yeah." And we played, and we got into it, and we got a Fed going.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought at one point, geez, if my brother Paul can get into this, you know, it's not just me then. You know, if
sure.
it's just me, that doesn't mean anything. But if it's somebody else, maybe I could sell this.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went on this... I made this attempt to sell to the WWF because I thought, yeah, this would be perfect. They could sell a wrestling card game.
Mm-hmm.
And they, you know, they weren't sure. They weren't sure. You know, I was talking to them for a good 6 months to a year about the possibility. And then finally, they made an agreement with another company that would handle all their licensing. So now I no longer could work directly with the WWF.
Okay.
And this other company said, no thank you to me. We have a different game in mind. And they did. They released a board game by Milton Bradley.
Okay.
And it wasn't even close to being a fun wrestling game. It was, you know, you get a Hulk Hogan, you know, marker with mm-hmm. his picture on it, and you move it on a board. And, you know,
yeah.
and then in the Iron Sheik and Nikolai Volkoff, and it wasn't even close to being a wrestling match. It was a game for children because that's what their appeal was,
right.
a lot of it at that time.
Okay.
I thought, geez, here's my game, and now my whole point was to sell it to them. Now what?
Mm-hmm.
And one day I'm watching television, and a cartoon comes on, and one of the characters looked like a wrestler of the future, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, oh, there's my answer. I'm a big fan of comic books, too,
mm-hmm.
so I'll create my own characters and market this game anyway. And so I did, and I created Champions of the Galaxy, and that was released about 1987
wow.
in PWI.
Okay.
And with 24 original characters, including some that maybe some of you people have heard of, that's Star Warrior, Wolf, Thantos, the Gladiators.
Mm-hmm.
A first set with stories for all the characters, why they're feuding, and usually that's because of, like, this planetary war between, you know, different alien groups and things
mm-hmm.
like that. And I thought, well, here we go. And so I released it. And I'll never forget that, because I put that ad out, and I thought, I wonder if wrestling fans are ready for a game that's got aliens in it. And, you know?
Absolutely.
And not the missing link, yeah.
Sure.
So, And I was a little bit nervous about that. And mm-hmm. But people bought it. And they loved the stories, and they loved the characters. Mm-hmm. Because you could do something like this, and it's very one-dimensional. You could just say, okay, here's a big, ugly alien, and here's the hero. But they don't have personalities.
Right.
But, you know, there's a lot of backstory here. And that's the key to the whole thing, because people were like, all right, Omega's Star Warrior's father, and Star Warrior's got a feud with Thantos because he feels betrayed by him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all the stories were there. And then once people bought that first edition, I thought, I want to keep doing this because I like writing these stories and mm-hmm. these characters. So I released basically a new edition every year, sometimes every 6 months we did it when we were really, really growing.
Okay.
And that's how Champions of the Galaxy started. Now it's 2012, and we're on something like our 40th expansion.
Wow.
And I don't like to scare people by saying that because they think, well, this is too intense for me. I don't know enough about it. Mm-hmm. But you can really jump in at any time, you know?
And as I recall, you sort of – the company had done kind of a reboot is not the right word, but sort of a jumping on point recently, or at least a couple of years ago.
Yeah. There was at one point I thought, you know, I want to make it easy for a newcomer to jump in. Now, of course, they can always just start at the beginning.
Of course.
But, you know, maybe somebody is of, you know, of mind that they like to do things that are just current. So we released an edition called New Beginning. That was the year 2119.
Okay.
So the game started in the year 2087. I made that just 100 years from after when it was created. You know, 1987.
Sure.
It hit the market, so I thought 2087 will be the first year.
Okay.
And so 2119 became a starting point. But then but to this point we were still dealing with black and white cards and fantastic art, and it was all great. But, mm-hmm. you know, there we decided, hey, you know, let's make these color cards now, you know. I mm-hmm. think people are more likely to like that, especially newcomers.
Sure.
So 2125 is the first color set where you can buy everybody and have the whole Fed. In other words, you have the whole Federation.
Mm-hmm.
That one's called Legends 2125, and so that's a new starting out. That's a new jumping on point. And we're up now. Coming out this July is 2128. So
okay. Wow.
That's where we're at.
All right. so yeah, it's a long career with the game, and obviously you've branched out as well. I just want to go back real quick. As a fan, I believe on the bio on the website, you grew up in Cleveland, correct?
Right.
Okay. So, and you mentioned seeing the Sheik. So was his promotion the one that you saw the most when you were growing up?
There were two.
Okay.
There was one that was based in Cleveland, and I at the time they didn't have a title like the. Like the WWE or like mm-hmm. Ring of Honor. They just were all called big time wrestling back then, a lot of them, you know?
Right.
And I think it turns out it was something like, and I'm probably wrong, the NWF, or in retrospect, I think they kind of named it. But it was Cleveland, but and so it had people, the Sheik, by the way, since he's wrestling in Detroit, mm-hmm. would come to the Cleveland promotion regularly too. And we also saw the Detroit promotion. We you know, so there were two wrestling shows on,
okay.
the Detroit one and the Cleveland one. They were kind of different, but people like the Sheik and Bobo Brazil and Johnny Valentine would go between both of them.
Okay.
Because they were so close.
Gotcha.
And it always killed me because I'd watch the Cleveland show and they'd have the world champion would be Waldo Von Erich, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, and you know, they'd wrestle once a week at the Cleveland Arena on, let's say, a Wednesday night, and then in Akron 2 days later. I thought, what's the world champion doing in Cleveland and Akron all the time? Why doesn't he ever wrestle in Paris or, you know, London
mm-hmm.
or New York City? But, you know, that's because every region had their own champion.
Sure. Yeah, one of those little those logic loopholes in wrestling.
It was a fun time to watch because at that time, and it really, it's an amazing sport this way. At that time, I'd say the majority of the audience thought it was a real sport still, you know? And so they cheer differently than people today who realize that it's, you know, kind of combination sport and entertainment.
Sure.
And now we tend to appreciate good performance. But back then, they really wanted the good guy to kick the bad guy's butt because the bad guy was really a bad guy, and he was really doing those things.
Sure.
It's really different that way, to watch how it evolved over time.
Mm-hmm. Now, the Sheik, I mean, is iconic in terms of who he was and the things that he did in the ring. Did you ever see him live?
Yeah, at least a half dozen times. And I thought he was amazing. I have tremendous admiration for him. He mm-hmm. just didn't break character. And I wish, because I heard towards the end of his life he was writing a book. That would have been a fantastic book if he could have ever written it, because he had so many stories. Mm-hmm. But he stayed true to that character. You know, I, from what I understand, you know, if you saw him at the airport or something, he wouldn't talk. Mm-hmm. You know, it'd go into character.
Right.
So he was very hardcore.
Absolutely.
And I went to a match one time at Cleveland State. Now, this is in the 80s when he's already older himself, like mm-hmm. 60s or something. He just went berserk. You know, he's fighting in the stands.
Mm-hmm.
Overturning tables. He still was hardcore.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I never had the opportunity to see him live, obviously, but seeing him even on tape, it's a spectacle to see.
Yeah, he scared people.
I was going to say there's genuine fear coming out of people when he's around.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So did the heroes and the guys that you watched obviously at that time, and even do you still watch wrestling today?
Oh, yeah, of course, sure.
Okay. Following the WWE, and do you watch TNA and all
those? Yeah, I follow all the feds. You know, we've got licensing agreements with, like, Chikara,
mm-hmm.
and we do a lot of indie wrestling, and mm-hmm. we've done some stuff with Ring of Honor. Oh, absolutely, I like to keep up with everything to the best of my ability. I attended something like 3 or 4 indie shows in the past year, and I love them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so, I do.
It's a different environment, definitely. From the big arena
shows.
Yeah,
and they're very different within themselves. You know, you go to a Chikara show, that's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Then you go to, let's say, another independent that's even smaller, much smaller,
mm-hmm.
that's almost like local, and where you go to a high school and there's like, you know, 100 people there. And they do a different type of show
mm-hmm.
than let's say, Chikara or Ring of Honor does, because their people aren't known. So they stage it a little bit more in terms of the... The less high spots, more story development.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely. So I like it. I like all of it.
Okay. All right. So with the Legends of Wrestling Game, and for those that don't know, the Legends of Wrestling Game it's the same sort of play mechanics as Champions of the Galaxy, but it is using as you mentioned independent wrestlers, but also a lot of legends from the past.
Yeah, that's how that started. That really was cool because, you know, my original intent was to use the real wrestlers. Then mm-hmm. I wound up doing that like 10 or 15 years later.
Right.
When I started, I think, with either Greg Valentine or King Kong Bundy. They were my first two.
Okay.
And I met them at conventions, you know, and then we talk, and then one of them says, yeah, sure, do a playing card. That's cool. I thought, wow, that was easy. maybe I'll just ask everybody, you know, and I did that.
Okay.
You know, I'd meet people like the Iron Sheik. And by that first Legends of Wrestling box set, it's got some real, real great names in it. I talked to Buddy Rogers' wife.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to Gorgeous George's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, got permission from them.
Sure.
Most of them considered it an honor. And I thought, well, that's great because I am doing a tribute to you. So, mm-hmm. yes, I'm glad you see it that way. Let's see, the first set's got Snuka and Road Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, it's really a fantastic set for a wrestling fan.
And it's been an interesting mix because not only are it the individuals, you know, from the 70s and 80s, but you've definitely gone back in time by including people like Frank Gotch and individuals like that, you know, names.
Yep. George Hackenschmidt.
Yep.
Jim Landis. See, my feeling was this. I want this game to truly reflect the history of wrestling. That's my goal. And I want it to be accurate. We the people who help write the Legends of Wrestling playing cards
mm-hmm.
are history buffs in wrestling. They know everybody's moves. We sit around and we, you know, debate whose pin rating ought to be higher, who should be lower, who should have a better finisher rating, whether this person's ropes rating ought to be an A, B, or C. Just to make it so that it's truly realistic.
How much
it turned out that way.
How much playtesting does go into each sort of new card, basically?
I wouldn't call it playtesting so much as
okay.
The fine-tuning of the cards. because we all have the people who are very close to it, kind of have a sense of how the card's going to play out. And if you, playtesting kind of frightens me a little bit, because if I say, okay, here's the Road Warriors, I'm going to playtest them, you know, a few matches against, mm-hmm. The Killer Bees and, you know, whoever else we can use, it's not accurate, you know, because they hit streaks. Mm-hmm. You've really got to know what a good card is going in, because in anybody who plays this game, and they play, let's say, Legends Fed, and let's say you have the Road Warriors, well, they're sometimes going to go into a losing streak. You know, mm-hmm. they're just going to have a bad stretch, and then they'll come out of it and dominate. And so I'm always wary to use one or two or three or four or five matches to judge a card.
Okay. All right. So I'm trying to think from there. Now, it's what's sort of your history in terms of gaming and board gaming? Are you still an active player of board games? Do you have any favorites?
Oh, well, my favorites are, of course, Champions and Legends.
Certainly.
Because I play a Fed for each of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I was very influenced by Strat-O-Matic. That's a sports game company.
Oh, yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. they had Strat-O-Matic. You've heard of it?
I have, yes. I believe they did baseball and football, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then they branched out to hockey and, mm-hmm. and basketball and, you know, a lot of things. But they started with baseball, and they created a game I thought was just great, mm-hmm. you know. And so that, I think that, you know, that influenced me to create a card and dice game, because that's what that is,
mm-hmm.
for wrestling, in, you know, instead of baseball or basketball or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also like fantasy games. I don't know if I'd say they're much of an influence on mine, but I like Magic the Gathering.
Okay.
I played Marvel and DC Versus, that, you know, they don't produce those anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Strat-O-Matic.
Okay. Gotcha. And as I know you found through the creation of the game, and obviously when you found that people were, besides your brother, and you were as interested in a game like this, the culture that has come up around Champions of the Galaxy and also, by extension, Legends of Wrestling has been amazing to see.
Yeah.
It's a world unto itself, really.
Yeah.
Did you ever expect that anything like that would happen?
To be honest with you, I did, because if you can create a world and characters that people care about, they, and then keep updating like we do, just releasing new stuff, you know, people get into it, and they get into it as if it's totally real, mm-hmm. and which is exactly the way they should, because I do that with things that I like a lot also.
Mm-hmm.
So they become like Star Trek fans or Dungeons and Dragons fans, you know, that's just, mm-hmm. they become very, very loyal, and I love that, and I've made some fantastic friends through the fan network. They have become friends with each other, so it's changed their lives. I couldn't be any happier than our fan reaction is. They're intelligent fans.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
Absolutely. And, yeah, the community is huge. I mean, with your whole forum has more activity on it than most I've ever seen on a daily basis.
Oh, yeah. It's a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm. Now, and you still run your own Champions of the Galaxy Fed and Legends
yeah.
Wrestling. Really?
Yeah, my Champions of the Galaxy Fed, which started in 88, is, and I've got every card and all the results, mm-hmm. and I rate the matches. And I'm up to about 850 fight cards now over my lifetime.
Wow.
And I can't wait to get to 1,000. That's going to be the biggest milestone. I predict that'll come in another, like, 3 or 4 years.
And that'll have you...
huge.
Do you have ideas of a big spectacular involved for that, or?
Oh yeah, I do.
Okay.
I mean, it's still a ways off, but I'm going to make that the biggest thing of all time. I think I'll have a day where, for some reason, time travel and everything is out the window, and all the major characters in the game can wrestle on that card. Even people who've been gone for decades, like Star Warrior, an original legend, who is no longer wrestling now because he's older.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I'll just sort of just bring in everybody.
Wow.
For one day.
Okay.
Maybe like biggest tournament of all time or something.
Sure. Maybe even do it live at Galacticon.
Yeah, that would be cool. That's a good idea. I like that.
So speaking of Galacticon, I mean, that's been an extension of the fandom of the game,
yeah.
This convention that you have, an annual convention that you have. And I know you have one coming up very soon. I don't recall the dates right off the top of my head. July, is it July, I believe?
Right. It's July 7 and 8.
Okay.
Saturday and Sunday. Yeah. You know, that's a tribute to the fans. We have game tournaments. We visit with each other. Mm-hmm. They pre-order the new stuff and then pick it up when they come to the convention. And that's always exciting because it's the first time it's released.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a blast.
Now, was that something organized by you initially, or was this sort of the fans kind of creating something on their own?
Both. You know, a game fan, and this goes back to 1990, mm-hmm. or so, maybe even 89. One of the biggest game fans, his name is Mark Ashby, came to visit me one summer in Jamestown, where I live, Jamestown, New York.
Mm-hmm.
And that made me laugh in a way, because he was younger, he was a teenager, and his parents just dropped him off and... You know, at this stranger's house and, you know, move and let him spend time with us. I think even the night, I can't remember now.
Hmm.
But so we spent time together, and it was great to see him because, you know, there was no internet. You didn't see the fans. You just got letters from them in the mail. That was it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they'd call every now and then. So, we talked about it, and we thought, why don't we, you know, just get, see who we can get together.
Certainly.
And it started the very next summer then.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it's just beautiful, yeah.
All right. Now, and there's tournaments that go on during the course of the weekend and everything like that.
That's really what it's all about.
Okay.
And then visiting, like question and answer. They like to ask me question and answer. They might ask an artist or another writer.
Mm-hmm.
It's mainly about tournaments and playing the new stuff because, yeah, what else would you want to do if you don't often get together with other people to play? This is what you do when you do. You just play all the time.
Certainly. All right. And then, of course, I think one of the more unique things, and I think through your game was the first time I'd ever heard about someone making an interface sort of like this and taking the game online. I know there are games now that have started to branch out and do that, but, I mean... Before seeing how you had done it, the only way I'd really heard of people gaming over the internet was through email and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, was that part of your plan to take it online?
Yeah, I mean, in the loose sense of the word, a plan, because I'm not a tech guy.
Okay.
So I did wind up be partnering with a game fan who is also now a business partner named Chris Osk,
mm-hmm.
and he had some great ideas for how to take the game online as an online sim.
Okay.
And he did it. And it's very popular. And we've got it for Champions and for Legends. And, yeah.
Okay. Great. I mean, that's, I think, something that I know in reading your bio and everything that you touched on. And it's that spirit of creativity that really seems to drive you and the company and everything that you've created. Has that something that's just always been an influence in your life and a factor in your life, or is something you've cultivated?
No.
Okay.
No, I think, you know, I was one of those dreamers as a child. You know, mm-hmm. it just was who you are. You know, you're just always imagining, like Calvin and Hobbes. I don't know if you remember that comic strip, you know. I was that kid and always imagining things, always creating and writing. I wrote my own comic books when I was young and created characters. Then when I was a teenager, I before the days of backyard wrestling, I was never that hardcore. I used to actually stage matches in the basement of my parents' house and invite over the local kids.
Mm-hmm.
And they, of course, you know, they were young. They were like 10 or something. And so they went right for everything we did, you know. So here I was as a promoter for basement wrestling. So, yeah, I've always been doing these things.
Okay. Did your love with wrestling ever – did you ever at any time entertain the idea of actually getting into the ring?
I think I might have been a good manager. That,
okay.
That would have been interesting.
All right. And did you have any favorites?
Of the managers?
Oh, yeah.
Well, definitely – I thought Bobby Heenan was great because he could be funny and evil. I thought that was a good combination.
Okay.
You know, Jimmy Hart's great, and you know, all these guys are in my Legends game, which is awesome.
Sure.
Jimmy Hart and Jim Cornette.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The managers are key. I think they ought to be used more today. I think sometimes a manager can really enhance a wrestler.
Definitely.
Where a wrestler's mic skills aren't the greatest, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think they did that. And I think they should do that more now, even.
Definitely. Definitely. Here's the part in the show where I always mention that I'm terrible at segues and trying to figure out where to go.
That's okay. You know, it's been, you know, very easy so far.
No, that's good. That's good.
If you want, I can start to tell you about some of the new releases.
Perfect. Go for it.
Oh, good. I can be helpful sometimes. Like, we're going to release one new Legends card in... these things will start mailing on, like, July 11th. Yes, that's right. Mm-hmm. People at Galacticon will get these on July 7th, but when people pre-order online, and people can pre-order online now. You can pre-order all the new stuff.
Okay.
And it'll start mailing July 11th. We've got a Legends card for Colt Cabana. We already had one, but we do updates on people. And he won the NWA championship, so we gave an upgrade card for his NWA title.
Okay.
Then we've got the Chikara six-pack. Gekido,
okay.
Six-pack. And that's awesome. You know, we're always releasing some more Chikara cards every few months, another four-pack, five-pack. In this case, it's a six-pack.
Mm-hmm.
This one features the Shard, Assailant, Deviant,
mm-hmm.
Combatant,
mm-hmm.
and 17.
Okay.
And also the ring announcer, Gavin Loudspeaker.
The one and only.
The one and only, who is, by the way, possibly the greatest Champions of the Galaxy fan ever.
Really?
And, oh, yeah. He was playing the game since he was, for at least 15 years now, and he's collected everything in the game. So
knowing him, that's not that surprising.
That's true. That is absolutely true. He's a very talented, very theatrical guy, and I love him. I think he's great.
Great. All right. And I believe is he going to be making an appearance at Galacticon this year?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Gavin will be there being very loud, and he'll be there. He's always a pleasure to see. Yeah, we've had some cool people show up. Necro Butcher's a fan of the game.
And really?
Out of nowhere, he was there. You know, and there he was. And people were saying, you know, that's Necro Butcher. And I was like, wow. He's a big fan of the Gladiators, our ass-kicking... warmonger team mm-hmm. from Aethra. And so he loves them.
Really?
Brian Danielson was a fan.
Okay.
And he used to buy our games. And, you know, that being Daniel Bryan, but we've released playing cards for him since we signed him before he was in the WWE, and we signed him as Brian Danielson.
Okay.
So we have playing cards for him. Yeah, so it's Chris Hero is another one. Yeah, we've had a lot of fans among the wrestlers.
That's great. I think based on where you are in New York, and I think I saw on the site, you've the Destroyer has shown up as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, always in a mask.
Oh, I'm pretty sure that's actually his legitimate face.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny. Yeah. So he's close by. So he's come, and Virgil came once.
Okay.
And Johnny Valiant. And, you know, and then in the world of comic books,
mm-hmm.
Brian Michael Bendis, and I don't know if your fans, the wrestling fans, would necessarily know that name, but that's one of the top writers in comic books in the last 10 years.
He's pretty much writing everything at this point. I believe he's still writing Ultimate Spider-Man. He's writing the Avengers and all of their various
yeah.
iterations. He's the man when it comes to Marvel.
Yeah, he's writing Avengers versus X-Men, their huge crossover right now.
Right.
And great, great writer. And during the 90s, he was our most prolific artist. He drew more game characters than anybody ever drew for us. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
You didn't know that he drew for us?
I wasn't aware. I know you guys have worked with a number of great artists, but I didn't realize that Brian was one of them.
Yeah, that was a very cool era, and he was just starting out, and he was trying to make it by creating his own indie comics, mm-hmm. and simultaneously, for a good 7 or 8, 9 years, he drew our game characters for Champions of the Galaxy.
Okay, all right. Now, do you approach the artist yourself, or do you get solicitations or things like that from?
Yeah, I get both.
Okay.
Where I tend to meet them is when I attend a convention, like a comic book convention, there's Artist Alley, and, you know, so there's all these artists. And I tend to go there and visit with people just to see if there's a potential future artist there. That's how I met my current Champions artist, whose name is Daryl Banks, who's unbelievably great. And he drew Green Lantern for DC, some of the definitive Green Lanterns. And I met him, and he knew about my game, and I knew that I liked his work, and so we got along right away. And he's been drawing for me now for a long time, and he's a regular, and he's great. I met Steve Stanley, who's drawing our Legends art. Fantastic artist at doing, like, a portrait of a wrestler. And I met him at a convention. And our other artist who's doing work with our Chikara set and Ring of Honor is Werner, and Werner Mook. And he is came out of our fan base.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, that happens. That,
sure.
You know, he's worked really hard and has developed, I think, into being a fantastic artist. People love his work with the Chikara game. And he did some nice art for the Briscoe brothers for ROH.
Ah, those Briscoe brothers.
Yeah, they are awesome. That's true.
They're a force to be reckoned with, without a doubt.
Yeah,
I could easily see them fitting in with even just Champions of the Galaxy, that environment and world in general.
That's true. And you know, it's funny. A lot of the Chikara guys can too, because a lot of them have these masks and these kind of otherworldly images, like Hollow Wicked and people like that, and so they're in Delirious. So they're. You could mix and match that very easily.
Yeah, I could see. I could see Ultra Mantis Black causing a lot of problems.
Yeah, another one. Yep, you got it.
Fantastic. All right. Now, what is it as a fan growing up of so many different things? You know, between wrestling, comic books, all of this. What has it meant to you to have found something that makes you such a part of it and to have met all of these people that you've met along the way?
Well, you know, I guess you'd say it's a dream come true on all fronts because, you know, I became friendly with a lot of them. You know, Nikolai Volkov's a wonderful guy, and Ted DiBiase I spent some time with. And, I do enjoy that quite a bit because wrestlers are like nobody else on the planet. They are their own type, and they're interesting people to hang out with. But, you know, a real honor for me because I'm just as influenced by comic books as I am by wrestling in a lot of ways. In my stories for Champions of the Galaxy, I had the opportunity to work with my all-time hero, Stan Lee, 4 years ago on a book together. And that was a true honor. That really was.
What is Stan like in real life?
just as friendly as he could be. He's a bit of a... rightfully a perfectionist, which is the way he should be, and just the nicest guy, great sense of humor. When we would email back and forth when we were beginning to work on this book of humor that he wrote, that I worked, you know, that I published for him.
I believe it was the elections book, right?
Right.
Okay.
You know, the emails are like, you know, and this is a guy that's in his 80s. The emails are like a kid having fun. Joking and laughing and, you know, wordplay. It's delightful to work with somebody like that.
Wow. And again, it's one of those moments where it's, you know, I would imagine when you were creating this game because you were bored in school, you never imagined you might be meeting someone like that.
Now that, I'll admit, was a bit of a shocker. Meeting is one thing. Working with was a whole new level. I mean,
sure.
I get Christmas cards from him still. It's... I'm very proud of that. You know, I'm very, very proud and happy that I got to work with somebody like Stan Lee. One time we did a promotion in Santa Monica, California, and his office is in Beverly Hills, which is about a half hour, 45-minute drive, something like that. And we went, when we were done in Santa Monica doing a promotional video, that's online, it's, that we did, we rode in a limo back to Beverly Hills. Just me and Stan Lee in the back of a limo.
Wow.
Well, yeah, wow. That is a wow. I was sitting there the whole time going, this is amazing. And we chatted, and it was a great moment.
Did he give you any pointers or tips, or was it just friendly conversation?
Oh, it was friendly conversation.
Okay.
You know, about just variety of topics.
Sure.
And, he's always been a supporter of Champions of the Galaxy, and there's a video online on YouTube where he is greeting the fans of the fans of Galacticon.
Okay.
I didn't even know this video was going to be made, and it's only about 30 seconds, but it's Stan Lee saying, "Hey, fans of Galacticon," I think it was 2010. Mm-hmm. You know, have a great time there in Jamestown, and it was just the coolest thing in the world to get that support.
Sure, sure. Oh, wow.
Yeah, wow is right.
Dang. All right. So, what's the future? What is your ultimate dream for what you've created?
You know what? To be honest with you, I've already achieved that.
Okay.
So I'm just continuing to want to have fun. I guess I still have goals. I'm going to be in L.A. for a month next month because I'm trying to talk with TV people and movie people about a Champions of the Galaxy show or movie.
Okay.
And I'm talking to script writers and people like that. That'd be awesome if Champions of the Galaxy, you know, grew and became a TV show or a movie. So I guess that would be a dream, and I'm pushing that. I think it's very important, and the kind of person I am is I'm living the dream now, and I think you just got to enjoy yourself in life. And if some more good things happen to you, beautiful. Mm-hmm. But if not, don't ever lose sight of what already is good about your life. And so I don't. Hey, can I tell you a little bit about the new Champions of the Galaxy game?
Please do. Please do.
I think this is one of the coolest storylines that has ever come out of the game. You know, sometimes you're just more inspired than others.
Mm-hmm.
And so the newest story arc is called Black Death. And there's two videos online where I talk about it. So if anybody wanted to learn about what Black Death means in more detail even, they just have to look up Tom Filsinger and Black Death and they'll find the videos. But, you know, that there's these cosmic entities
mm-hmm.
that are non-physical who are trying to take over our physical plane of existence in the whole universe. And they do that by possessing people who have a lot of anger or hate in them
mm-hmm.
because that allows them to be able to possess them more easily.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they possess some GWF wrestlers in the this is galaxy-wide, but in the GWF, it's mm-hmm. the wrestlers. And, you know, these people just turn. Like Bishop Hell is one of my all-time favorite heels in this game.
Mm-hmm.
But he becomes Black Death, and he joins that group. And it's got a kind of a cosmic NWO feel because it's like these people are taking over.
Okay.
And I like that because, to me, this is like the best example of the game being sci-fi and wrestling and it working as a perfect marriage.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I see it anyway. And the fans love it, though. And so, you know, this saga continues.
Sure.
That was 2127. That was released December.
Mm-hmm.
Now the new one, 2128, comes out as the three. That's the alien entities that are taking physical form. They actually do take physical form, and you know the battle is going to rage on.
And
so, very, very pleased with that.
Who knows from that point where it's going to go?
Right, and you play it in real time. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's like okay, now you know play your Fed
yep.
until the next one comes out. That won't be for another year this time. Next
mm-hmm.
July. Of course, you can jump in at any time, but I think it's always kind of cool to be playing when these things are actually coming out.
Absolutely.
A lot of our fans, naturally, they have their own lives. They fall behind,
mm-hmm.
or they want to start over.
Mm-hmm.
You can do whatever you want, of course.
Of course. That's sort of the beauty of the game at the same time.
I still get people buying that original box set for starters and then liking it and just starting right up the pyramid, right at the bottom, you
mm-hmm.
know, one thing, you know, and I love that because I wrote that stuff 25 years ago or something, and I'm just thrilled that it's considered, you know, classic by some game fans.
Definitely. Here's the awful question. you got to pick between your children that you've created. Who is your favorite that you've ever created?
The characters?
Oh, yeah.
My favorites are always the latest ones because those are the ones that are the freshest.
Okay.
So, I really like the three. They're called Sir, Bex, and Genna. I really love the way the art came out, and I love the concept for them. If I was going to go back to the original set, I think I like Wolf the best there, because mm-hmm. he's like your anti-hero. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've always liked that type of character that's, you know, it's kind of out of control, like Wolverine or somebody. That's,
sure.
Or Stone Cold, in a way. Mm-hmm. You know, he's popular, but it's because he's hardcore and out of control.
Right, right. Yeah, he's definitely sort of the standout character from...
Yeah, I think so. Although the villain in the first set really worked. His name was Thantos. Mm-hmm. And you've got to have a good villain. I mean, look at the Batman and... movies with Batman and the Joker. Really, they're Joker movies. Mm-hmm. Because the Joker's such a strong character that, you know, you've really got something strong when you've got a strong hero, Batman, and in a lot of ways, a very strong, maybe even stronger villain in the Joker. Because people go to the Batman movies, you know, because they want to see the Joker. You know, Heath Ledger, was it?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He did so good at that. He was the star.
Absolutely.
And Jack Nicholson was the star mm-hmm. of that Batman movie. So... you got to have a strong villain. Otherwise, the hero is, you know, not battling anything that matters.
Sure.
And I think Thantos was that in the first set.
And I know for me, when I first started playing, the feeling that I got coming off of him that I thought was so great was not only just sort of his evil presence, but his intelligence. It felt like a Nick Bockwinkle, almost.
Oh, that's cool. I like that.
Yeah. It was so, you know, he wasn't... He had brutes to back him up, and he could handle himself if he needed to. But yeah, it was that intelligence at the same time that made him so terrifying, basically.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's cool. And he was he was a good leader. He brought together a villain team that was very powerful.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah,
yeah. And that's, I think, again, with the game, one of the things that's been so amazing is that you have the storylines and everything. You provide the updates, the backstories of the characters. But I mean, it's not. The game's not on rails at that point. It, mm-hmm. You know, you give the fans so much freedom to be able to take it where they want to go.
They really need to. You know, once they actually start playing, they're fed. Mm-hmm. They're going to break away from some of the stories and create some of their own. Mm-hmm. So I think that's, and there's the creativity element.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think about the only thing left is to make sure that we. We get out all of the various websites so that people can be sure to check out the products.
It's pretty much one.
Okay.
And that's philsingergames.com. Phil Singer spelled F-I-L Singer games.com. And mm-hmm. There you can go to Champions of the Galaxy, the Legends. You can find the Chikara stuff. And it's
absolutely.
All right there, a gold mine of fun.
And it is a gold mine, without a doubt, and it's huge in the amount of stuff that you can actually pick up between the two games, between Legends of Wrestling, Champions of the Galaxy, and everything. And, of course, coming up, I believe in just about a week from when this is airing, July 6th through 8th, Galacticon 2012 at the Jamestown Community College Student Union in Jamestown, New York. Are there tickets that need to be purchased for Galacticon,
no.
or is it sort of just a free-for-all?
No. I do. You know, I welcome people, newcomers, to come and enjoy the fun with us.
All right. Great. Well, Tom, thank you again so much for agreeing to be a part of this podcast. I enjoyed it very much, and I know if there's fans out there that haven't had a chance to check out the game, I believe they will now, and I think they will. They'll be very happy with making that decision.
Thank you. I've really enjoyed talking to you.
Great. Thank you so much. And fans,
okay.
Thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you next week.